Hello, lovely souls, and welcome to this transmission about the eclipse season. So, yeah, I just finished writing some thoughts on Instagram, and then, yeah, I was thinking of jumping on this recording and going a little bit more in depth as we're quickly approaching the I would say the most intense season from what it looks like of this year of 2025. I mean, March is, it's quite an intense day, month for sure, with having Venus retrograde. That only happens once every 18 months. And then Mercury is going retrograde. We have the eclipse season with two eclipses in March. The first one that I'm going to talk about on the 14th. So in just 2 days in Virgo. And then we have another one at the end of March in Aries, closing the chapter of the lunar nodes in Aries and Libra. And then at the towards the end of March as well, we have the Venus star point in Aries, which begins a new Venus cycle. And also we have Neptune moving into Aries at the end of March, which is one of our biggest generational transits. So you see, like, there's a lot of energy shifting this month in March. So yeah, I want to unpack a little bit. I did quite a whole workshop on the energy of this year. And now in this transmission, I want to focus a little bit more specifically on the eclipses, and more on this first eclipse in Virgo. And I'll do another recording later on about the eclipse in Aries. So what is eclipse season now? I mean, eclipses, just to start with this parenthesis, eclipses is not something to be afraid of, right? I mean, they happen every year. They happen two times a year. We have two seasons. And it's, eclipses are portals. They're portals of destiny that align us, align our individual paths with the collective path and with the whole cosmic evolution. They're really the time of the years when major shifts are happening, radical changes, activation, downloads. The veil is very, very thin during an eclipse season. Very easy to move between the worlds, to feel sometimes ungrounded, overwhelmed, emotional turbulence, all of these things. Basically, just to describe, so eclipses happen when the sun and the moon align with the lunar nodes. The lunar nodes are the two nodes of the moon, right? We have the south node and the north node of the moon. And these are two karmic points. They're two points in the sky where the orbit of the moon intersects the ecliptical. So that means the orbit of the sun, how it looks from our perspective here on Earth, because the Earth orbits the sun, but from the perspective that we are here, we see the sun, yeah, moving around in the sky. And the two points in the northern and the southern hemisphere where these two intersect, the sun and the moon, form these two lunar nodes. And all the planets in the sky have their own nodes, called planetary nodes. The lunar nodes specifically are very important, and I love working with them, because I feel like the moon being represented of our emotional landscape, our karma, and it's also the container for our experiences, right? And through our emotional landscape, it sort of creates our worldview in a way, because our moods basically create or dictate the reality that we live in, like what we perceive, right? We take in the world based on the lenses of our moods and what nourishes us. The moon is very, very important in that sense. And so the two lunar nodes for me create our karmic and dharmic path in life. They're our, the journey of our soul's evolution, right? And in a lot of astrology texts or so, you will see this idea of moving away from the south node and moving towards the node node. For me, I see it most as an integration, as a balance between the two. So the south node would be something that's overemphasized in past lives. So something that we have repeatedly experienced, and that means that it is becoming a comfort zone. So it also manifests as a kind of like the tendencies that we fall back into, especially when we get triggered, right? The moon is very emotional. And also it can represent our sabotage tendency. So something that presents our comfort zone. Yeah. So that is an area where there's no growth available, right? So hence the North Node. The North Node is the psychological shift required for us to expand in this lifetime. So basically, yeah, in short terms, where are we heading towards? So we have these two points in the sky, and when the sun and the moon during a lunation or a new moon or a full moon align with these two nodes on either side, because these are always on an axis, so the south and the north are always 180 degrees, so they activate the whole axis. So when you have a new moon where the sun and the moon are on the same spot, or a full moon where the sun and the moon are 180 degrees apart, and they align with the south and the north node, so we have eclipses, right? And this happens twice a year, and we have four eclipses in total. So there's two lunar eclipses and there's two solar eclipses. Lunar eclipses are on full moons, so they have the full moon energy, and these are like feminine energy. They hold release frequency. They're here to make space. So basically we're releasing what is not in alignment. And then we have solar eclipses, which are new moon energy, and these hold initiation frequency. So it's basically the masculine, the initiator, the doer. So this is where we plant the seed. How I always visualize it is, so the kind of the portal of the eclipse, I see it as a nexus point of multiple timelines. If you imagine like the fast moving film strip, you know, like this is the whole life, and then during the eclipse, the exact moment of the peak of the eclipse is that pause. So suddenly the film strip pauses and we have the space between two frames, and then the cut gets made, and then a new role gets pasted there, and then it starts playing again. So basically it's a timeline shift. And this event shifts both collective and individual like karma, right? So it works on our collective evolution, but also affects us on a very individual level. And eclipses are very chaotic. They're very intense. They, like I was saying, they disrupt the status quo. And through that, they give us the opportunity to pivot into a new timeline. But here I want to point out that personally, because eclipses are full moons and new moons that are heightened, so the energy is way more intense than on a regular full moon or new moon, I don't see them necessarily as like something to work with, but more like something to receive. So the way that I see an attunement, for example, to the eclipse energy is more by cultivating presence. So more by being, so being present in that moment and not necessarily doing something. So yeah, because these cosmic portals, they come with downloads, with upgrades at our genetic level. So it's about surrendering and being open to receive these energetic upgrades. So it can manifest in emotional intensity, turbulence. We can feel a little bit in turmoil, overwhelmed, in the mind, or extensively triggered, all of these things, ungrounded. It's very important to exercise any sort of nervous system regulation practice, any sort of self-care practice, grounding, mental rest, if it's possible to be in nature or near water, or yeah, take care of your body, be in that meditative space if you do have the option to, yeah, kind of relax, or yeah, not necessarily go to work or be in a very high intensity environment. Again, if you do have the option or the availability. If not, I always trust that everything is in perfect alignment. So whatever you need to experience, you will experience. But one good thing to pay attention to is maybe avoid making big life decisions, because these intense cosmic energies, as I was saying, sometimes creates this emotional turbulence, which can result in a lack of clarity. So then if we're making big life decisions, they can be very biased and, yeah, not from a place of sovereignty and clarity and alignment. So any decisions that you can postpone, I would postpone them after the eclipse season. And eclipses work in, so they do work in pairs. So we have an eclipse now, and then we have 2 weeks, and then we have another eclipse on the new moon in Aries. But also there's a build up, and then there's also the wind down. So you have a build up a couple of weeks before, when the energy is slowly building intensity, and then after the last eclipse, so starting from April, we're gonna have a couple of weeks of like just winding down the energy, right? So I would say this whole maybe 6 week period is the eclipse season. So not just the 2 weeks between the eclipses, but kind of like the 6 week, but the 2 weeks between them is the most intense. So yeah, I feel very important here, it's to realize that these portals operate beyond the understanding of our logical mind. So don't try to understand what is happening. Just be in that receiving mode. Trust is the currency here. Like, trust that everything is happening for a reason. And your job is just to receive and to keep your heart open no matter what. So, yeah, here we are being asked to surrender to a deeper truth that moves through us. So, as I was saying, the eclipses always activate and work on a whole axis, because no matter where if it happens on the south node or the north node, the moon and the sun are always going to be either at the conjunction or opposition. And the nodes are always in opposition, so there will always be this aspect between the sun, the moon, and the two lunar nodes. So hence why the whole axis is activated. And all the axes work on like specific areas of our lives. And I'm going to go through them a little bit in short terms at the end of this transmission. What I want to point out that this one happens in Virgo in Pisces, right? So full moon is in Virgo, because the moon will be in Virgo, 23 degrees, and the eclipse illuminates this whole Virgo and Pisces axis. And yeah, one thing that I need to point out is that the lunar nodes moved this year on the 11th of January in Virgo and Pisces, and the lunar nodes move backwards through the zodiac, and they move every 18 months. So it takes about 18 months to move through a whole sign, a year and a half. And so during that period, all the eclipses most of the time happen on that axis where the nodes are. So for example, now we have the last eclipse in Aries. So the nodes before were in Aries and Libra. We have an eclipse now in Aries, which is basically the closing of that chapter. Then the next eclipses will all be just in Virgo and Pisces. So helping us kind of like work through the karma and the activations of this axis. And then once the lunar nodes will shift in mid 2026 in Aquarius and Leo. After that, the eclipses will happen in those signs, in Aquarius and Leo. But for now, it's going to be Virgo and Pisces. And Virgo and Pisces, it's interesting. This is the axis of body and spirit, right? The integration of the spiritual frequencies into our physical vessel through somatic practices, through body work, all of these things. So Virgo is the body, Pisces is the spirit. This is also the axis of anchoring our dreams, Pisces dreams, into reality, Virgo, through practical applications and service, right? And here the shadow, when we think about the shadow of this axis, I feel like it's the fantasy of perfection, right? The shadow of Pisces is fantasy, escapism, dreams that are not anchored in any sort of reality, disillusion. And then the shadow of Virgo is perfectionism, self-criticism, controlling, right? And yeah, here I do feel like it's interesting to point out that, well, the irony of this insatiable hunger of the logical mind of Virgo that is in search of the perfection can only be satiated by that one answer that defies logic. Pisces, surrender, right? So basically all seeking eventually leads to surrender. All questions eventually lead to surrender. And this is the lesson that we are here to learn through this Pisces North Node and Virgo South Node, that perfection is only found in the acceptance of the messiness of the human nature. And we are messy as humans. And here it's interesting to point out that, well, with Saturn also present in during this eclipse, Saturn right now it's closing its chapter in Pisces as well. It's going to move into Aries in May. Saturn is sort of the authority, the teacher, the gravity, the tangible. And in Pisces, it hasn't been an easy journey there because Pisces is limitless and Saturn is boundaries. Saturn is the gravity. Pisces is ruled by Neptune and Jupiter, two signs that just want to dream and believe in this grandiose things. And then Saturn is the gravity that pulls it down into the harsh reality. So with Saturn here in the mix, we are being asked to contemplate, where are we being judgmental and self-critical about our mistakes instead of being open to learning from them? Because as I was saying before, our nature as human beings is to be messy, right? Perfection is just an illusion, something that prevents us from really embracing our humanity. Chasing this perfection basically just puts us at a more and more distance from our true human nature. So how can we allow ourselves to be who we are without this judgment, without this self-criticism, without any shame, any guilt? How can we understand that whatever happens in life, life happens for us and not to us? It's not a challenge to survive, but it's a gift to learn through and expand through. But unless we open to it, we can not harness and receive these lessons, because whatever we judge, we basically push away, we reject, right? So it's very important to be aware of any judgmental tendencies. And I have this in my life as well, and I've been navigating through this. I feel like I'm a recovering perfectionist. I've been dealing with this shadow as my natal nodes are in Pisces and Virgo. So being 37, I'm going through my nodal return this year. And actually, this eclipse in Virgo happens to be the exact degree of my nodes, which is very interesting, very synchronistic. It's a very, very rare event. It can happen maybe once or twice if you're lucky in your whole life. So it's very auspicious. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what moves through this season. But yeah, perfectionism has been a big, big thing in my life with everything. Even, for example, with this podcast, when I first started it, I was editing the episodes, spending a lot of time going through them, waiting until the next day to see if I still feel it, all of these things. And yeah, it's been a journey, but I've been more and more surrendering and allowing what needs to move through me to move through me without being so critical and editing life so much and just being more in this natural flowing state. So yeah, with the podcast, for example, nowadays I just record the episode and I just put the intro and the outro and that's it, and then publish it straight away. It's more about like just being in the energy of creation and using this energy and space in creative ways instead of being pulled down through the by the self-criticism. And yeah, Virgo, thinking about it, is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is the mind, right? It's mercurial. It's at the low road. It always keeps us stuck in the mind through this shadow of perfectionism by constantly editing ourselves. So the solution here is to soften into the body. Like Virgo also is the body, right? It's the earth witch. It's an earth sign that is ruled by a mental planet. So yeah, Virgo's medicine is to soften into the body, to allow the breathing, because the breathing is what connects us through the body. Through deepening our breath, we are able to tune into our bodies more. And then our feelings, our sensations are the ones that helping us bypass the thinking mind, right? It's very hard to bypass the mind through the mind. So sensation is something that allows us to go beyond the overthinking. So yeah, the high road, the gift of Virgo is being meticulous, very efficient. Virgo is very, very efficient. They always like improve function. They're always in service and able to discern what works, what doesn't work. So yeah, here we call to release any unrealistic standards of productivity, especially like because we've been indoctrinated and kind of like conditioned by the patriarchal society we've been living in, and ways of working, especially where we are holding each other to these standards or having to be productive all the time, disconnected from nature, working in rhythms that are imposed by other people. So the medicine is always coming back to realign ourselves to the rhythms of nature. Even looking at the moon, like the moon has this 8 phases where she's like building energy, building momentum, and then getting to a climax, and then slowly decreasing the energy, resting, integrating, and then going again. So the cyclical nature. So this is what's calling us as well, is like, how can we attune our bodies to this? Because our bodies are attuned to it. Just like, how can we honor and nurture our bodies and respect them in this like cyclical nature? So yeah, there's a couple of things that I want to point out here. Very, very important: integrity and authenticity over any sort of perfectionism. Trusting over controlling, right? Virgo is very controlling. Pisces is the trust in a higher power, the trust that things flow the right way, the trust that we will have the answers when we need them. We have the answers where we're in that stage of, in that phase of, and the surrendering of needing to have the answers, and kind of be like, can I just be in that space of I don't know, and then allow spirit to permeate me with the answers, with the clarity that I need? So again, trusting over controlling, coherence and flow over hustling. So just flowing with the natural rhythms instead of always hustling to get things done, to push more. Self-love over self-criticism. How can we embrace our humanity, love ourselves more, especially through the challenges? Because that's what suffering is. Suffering's sole purpose is to crack us open, so we can see the light that is within ourselves, so we can learn to keep our hearts open through the hardships. And then, yeah, when we think about the gene keys, this is also a system that I've been working with extensively. I really, really resonate with gene key transmission by Richard Rudd and the gene key system. So yeah, in the gene keys, this eclipse takes place in the gene key 36, where the sun is, and the gene key 6, where the moon is. So this happened to be my my personal one. So it's, again, this lunation is taking place on my natal nodes. So I'm very familiar with these two keys. I've been contemplating them for a while. The 36th key is the key that moves from turbulence to humanity and then compassion. And the 6th key is the path to peace. It moves from conflict to diplomacy and then peace, basically. So yeah, these are very interesting keys, even when you think about the words themselves, right? Humanity, compassion, peace, diplomacy. So yeah, the 36th key invites us to realize that we're not here to avoid any sort of suffering, but to actually practice our humanity through the suffering, which is, to be human is to forgive. So when we suffer, we become aware. If we can be with it, if we can stay with it, we become aware of the patterns that keep us in the narrative of separation, that we are separate from one another. And when we think about the 6th key of conflict, conflict is always based on this idea that we are being separate from one another. The fear that we can be victim of someone else on the outside, that someone can take advantage of us. So basically, yeah, we close down and we become very defensive. And this is what leads to judgment, to avoidance. But any conflict is basically just pointing out to an inner conflict within us. So any person or circumstance is just a gateway to the inner conflict that is happening within us. This is where we need to look. But it's when we're like in the very heightened emotions, yeah, sometimes it can be difficult to be able to look within ourselves, right? So yeah, we can, the irony is that as human beings, we can only be emotionally vulnerable when we drop basically our emotional defenses. So we have to really be with what is moving through us, allow suffering to move through us. And yeah, this is the journey in the 36th, is taking us to the depth, really the depth of the suffering. And yeah, we are called to embrace it, to accept it, to love it. It is called the darkening of the light, this key. So basically, it asks the question that when the light darkens, can we keep our hearts open? Can we always stay open no matter what? Because with a heart open, it's impossible to be overwhelmed by life. Because overwhelm only happens at the level of the mind. But when we drop into the heart, we cannot be overwhelmed. And it's important to know that, yeah, when we are being ruled by our emotions in that turbulence, there can be no sense of harmony, because our emotional state influences our biology. Even when we think about the moon being the emotions, influences the water in our bodies, and our bodies are 70% water. So emotions do influence our biology. And unless we break out of the past patterns, we'll keep drawing the same crisis over and over again that continue to present the same lessons, because you're really called to learn through them. So this is why the G-Keys always says the gift is in the shadow. So we don't bypass the shadow. We go through it, in it. That's why the suffering is there, to crack us open, to break open the ego. like Richard is saying in the Jinkies, the heart never breaks, it's just the ego that breaks. So have trust and allow yourself to go full on into it and stay with it and see like what is asking of you. Yeah, and once you heal your heart, trust that nothing can wound you. And in a sense, this is what humanity is. Humanity is the gift of someone who looked deep into their shadows and grappled with the challenges and emotions and accept their own suffering. And this gift level, when we reach the gift level of humanity, we're no longer overwhelmed by emotions, but we're capable of handling all sorts of experiences. And we're open to life, basically. And the CD is compassion, and compassion basically is, it's where we meet God, it's where we meet our divinity. Compassion is the only force in the universe with no agenda. Compassion is basically the price of all our sufferings. All our suffering leads eventually to compassion. Compassion is that divinity embodied in humanity. And it's interesting that this key is, the key 36 is part of the ring of divinity with this gift of humanity. So I do feel like this key in itself, when you contemplate it, it shows us that our divinity and our humanity are one and the same. Our divinity is embodied in our humanity. So we need to find our humanity to be able to find our divinity. And when we think about the Virgo and Pisces axis, it tells us the same story, right? And here at the CD level, at the compassion, it's very beautiful, illustrated through the story of Christ, like how Christ is accepting his humanity, hanging on the cross, crying in agony to his God for understanding, basically. So it shows this idea of the symbol of God asking, or like opening up to being human and praying for compassion. So it does show how God is human, and our humanity is the gateway to our divinity. And this darkening of the light basically shows us the power of our compassion for everyone and for everything. And this is what makes the evolutionary step. It's actually one of the most interesting keys, because the 36 is the only one where you can jump from the shadow level to the siddhic level straight away through compassion. Yeah. So I invite you to contemplate in your own life, where do you notice these shadows, especially the Pisces and Virgo shadows, the perfectionism, the self-criticism, the controlling, the attachments to a particular outcome, editing yourself, and then how can you open to more integrity, authenticity, flow, coherence, surrendering, trusting that everything has a perfect design, and then when you align with this design and you flow in harmony with the rhythms of nature, you are exactly where you need to be at every step of the way. So see how you can be aware of this in your own life. And now, before closing, I want to go through a little bit of these axes. So we have six axes, as there's 12 signs, and just point out what is the balance required through each of these axes. Because, like I was saying, it is all about the balance. It's all about balancing the overemphasized south node with a node north where the psychological changes need to happen. So creating that balance between the two. So here it's also based, it's based on your rising sign, because this is using the whole sign system. This is the system that I use. This is how you can determine, you can see where Pisces and Virgo is in your chart, and that's the area that will be activated. So if your rising sign is Aries or Libra, basically you're here to balance the service to self or the service to others, like physical and mental health, spiritual and holistic practices, because the axis of Pisces Virgo will be in your 6th and 12th house. If your rising sign is Taurus or Scorpio, then Pisces Virgo will be in your 5th and 11th house. So you need to balance between, well, the present moment and future plans, which is 5th and 11th house. Focus on community, pleasure, creativity, play, and your inner child. If your rising sign is Gemini or Sagittarius, there is a balance between private life, public life. Focus on career, achievements, family narrative, stability and roots. Create a sense of home, wherever you are, a sense of safety. If your rising sign is Cancer, Capricorn, then the balance between being a student and a teacher of life. Focus on self-expression, belief system, learning, traveling, exploration, basically stepping into this unknown and discovering more of life. If your rising sign is Leo or Aquarius, is the balance between personal values and shared values, personal resources, shared resources, personal finances, shared finances. Focus on trust, power dynamics, and how you transform your skill into resources and finances through the lenses of your self-worth. And then in the end, if your rising sign is Virgo or Pisces, like mine, I'm Pisces rising, then this eclipse will activate the 1st and 7th house. So then this is the balance between the self and the other, the belief in oneself, the identity, your body, your relationship, your partnerships, and kind of like defining autonomy within your partnerships and seeing where are you giving your power away, where are you people pleasing. So yeah, this would be my transmission on the eclipse. If you do need any support through it, get in touch. I would love to go on this journey with you. We can look into your chart and see what the particular story, activations, downloads, but also the shadows that you are called to work through. And look at it in a very practical way. So that would be it. And thank you very much for listening. And I will do another transmission before the Aries eclipse on that particular theme. So until then, much love, everyone.